the day we got born again. So we've been in Romans chapter 4. We're in the book of Romans. And I think I left off in Romans chapter 2. And I'm going to try to get to Romans chapter 3 tonight. But just a bit in review, recall the book of Romans is about, it was written because Paul had started a church in Rome. And the problem was that the Christians there were going back under the law. In fact, they were trying to get some of the Gentiles to go back under the law. Now, you would say, well, what does that have to do with us today? Well, we're going to tell you that here in a few minutes, okay? But some of the apostles were even trying to go under the law. Peter, James, Barnabas, they were trying to go back under the law. The law was given to the Jews, and the point is they could not keep it. But now the saved Gentile, we looked at Romans chapter 1, the saved Gentile is doing what they couldn't do to fulfill the law. Even though it was given to them orally, they were circumcised. They simply could not fulfill the law. Paul was telling them in the book of Romans, the law could not save them nor give them a new nature. God chose Abraham to be the father of a nation to whom the Jewish nation was to be born. But it was not simply intended for him or even his seed, but to them it received it by the righteousness by faith. So that's where we are. So if you would, let's go over to Romans chapter 3. We're going to pick up there. And in Romans 3, it starts out by saying this. So the Jews had asked Paul a question. And the question was, well, then, if these swine-eating Gentiles, if they're not able to come in and receive all the benefits that God had laid out for us, why did God give us the law? And in chapter 3, verse 1, Paul answers that. And he says, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there to be circumcised? In verse 2, he answers the question. He says, much in every way, chiefly because it was given unto them that were committed the oracles of God. Now, here's the thing. God could have given the law to the Negroes. He could have given it to the Africans. He could have given it to the Ethiopians. He could have given it to anybody. God chose Abraham, and Abraham turned into a nation, and God chose him to be the lineage to which the law would be given. Again, Paul answers their question by saying that God gave a law to bring the lineage of Christ through Abraham. God had chose the people to give the law to, so he chose the Jews. He chose a man by the name of Abraham, and like I said earlier, he grew into a nation, the Jews. Their job was simple. What was their job? Just simply obey the law. But here was the problem. They could not keep it. Why couldn't they keep the law? They were spiritually dead. That is correct. The law was the way God chose to let the entire world know that you could not keep the law. It wasn't because there was anything special about the Jews. He wanted the whole world to know they could not keep the law. To verify that, go over to Romans chapter 3 and go down to verse 19. Now we know that what things serve the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law. Who was under the law? The Jews. That every mouth may be stopped, and what's the next word? All. What does all include? Everything. What does all exclude? Nothing. Excludes nothing. So that all the world may become, what's the next word? Guilty. We are all guilty before God because we cannot keep the law. Now, here's the synonym. Here's what I want to bring out to you. The law is synonymous to works in our day. See, the law required them to do something, and then God was satisfied with them. Oftentimes, in today's Christianity is supposed to be a relationship. It's supposed to be Christ living through you and accomplishing the things through you that he would accomplish if he were here in the earth. That's relationship. You are not here to live for yourself. If you're living Christianity for yourself, that's not Christianity. You are trying to fulfill the law, and you're going to be frustrated. You're not going to receive the benefits that the Bible talks about. You're going to continuously be frustrated and wonder why the gospel doesn't work. Now, first of all, the gospel was not sent to give you benefits. The gospel was sent for one reason. Why was it sent? So that you could serve it. You are to serve, in Christianity, you are to serve Christ. Why? The gospel was sent to transform you. You are to be transformed by the gospel, not the other way around. And this is a rub that most Christians have. We look at the gospel and we try to make it down into do's and don'ts. That's religion. When I was growing up, one of our rules was that, you know, I was a Baptist, we couldn't dance. My mama's favorite saying was a dancing foot and a praying knee don't belong on the same leg. I don't know where she got that from, but that was works. Now, God's not against you dancing. But if the dancing leads to something else, well, then you shouldn't dance. You know, there are certain things I can do and there are certain things I can't do. But the point is this, the gospel should transform you. The gospel doesn't serve you, you serve the gospel. And the gospel will transform you, as I said. But let me go on here. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. See, when you get into works, you cannot justify. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Whose sight? The Father's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. See, the Jew did not know, the world did not know they were in sin. Let me ask you a question. How do you know you need to be born again? How did you come to know you needed to be born again? Somebody told you. Otherwise, you wouldn't have known. The Jew didn't know he was sinning. God gave them the law to let them know they were in sin. Now, the problem is when they began to try to keep the law, they realized what? They couldn't keep it. They didn't know they had sin until God gave them the law. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested how? By being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness, am I doing that? Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto whom all and upon all them that believe. Upon all that what? Believe. That is Christianity. You believe. You must believe. Now, here's the problem that most Christians have. In your spirit, you are made perfect. You don't lack anything. The problem is in between your ears. It's called your unrenewed mind. And your unrenewed mind must be renewed. It must understand. It can no longer function as it did in the earth. It must understand it functions by a new set of guidelines. I almost said rules. That would be more like the law. But there's a new set of guidelines. Now you believe, you trust, you walk in faith. You may not see the results you want. The only evidence you have is what? The Word of God. But when you get into works, you're not going to get your prayers answered by getting into works. You get your prayers answered by what? Believing and trusting God and remaining in faith. Amen? The law was the way that God showed not only the Jew, but the entire world that it was in sin. When the Jews attempted to keep it, they realized there was something working in them that prevented them from keeping it. The same thing happens to you. When you deduce the gospel to a set of rules and regulations, there'll be something working against you that wouldn't let you keep it. What is that? Your flesh or your unrenewed mind. Your mind must be renewed. Now, let me ask you a question. How many in here know how to renew your mind? Where have you read in the Bible how to renew your mind? Well, I got it. Romans 12 says to do it, but where gives you the how to? You found it? Go ahead. That's faith. That's not a renewed mind. Go ahead. You said you knew. That's part of it. That's part of it. That will help you to generate a renewed mind, yes. Speaking to what? Man, that's spot on now, man. Did you hear what he said? Speaking the truth to your heart. It's called fellowship. We say it like this. It's called private worship. It's getting along with God and begin to confess what he's already said you have, and you communicating. Go over to Philemon chapter 6. Lorenda, here I go again. It's in your Bible, Philemon chapter 6. It's in your Bible. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Thank you. Philemon verse 6. If somebody found it, go ahead and read it, please. I'm having a hard time finding it myself. Devin, can you put that up on the screen? If you can't, that's okay. Say it again. Stop. That the communication of your faith. How do you communicate? You communicate by speaking. So you got to communicate your faith to someone, not something, but to someone. So by the communication of your faith, go ahead. Stop. What may become effectual? Your faith may become effectual. By the communication of your faith, is that what it says? By the communication of your faith, read it again. I'm getting lost on this. Let me find it, because I'm going to teach it. I need to look at it. Say again. Okay, great. Verse 6. That the communication of thy faith, whose faith? Your faith, may become effectual. If you want your faith to become effectual, you got to start communicating something. If you want your faith to become effectual, you've got to start communicating something. What do you communicate? Now, let me ask you this. Go back. What does effectual mean? What does the word effect mean? If I affect something, what am I doing? I'm changing it. What's another word for that? Go over to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. You said it a while ago. It's what? Romans 12, 2. What does it say? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Same thing as being effectual. I guarantee the same thing. So, if you want your faith to be able to transform you, you're going to have to communicate what? By acknowledging every good thing which is in you, where? In Christ Jesus. Now, let me ask you a question. If I ask you, how's it going? You know what most Christians are going to tell me? Oh, brother, pray for me. The devil got me on the run. Man, he's got me in a corner now, man. It's a fight. Who are you communicating to? It ain't Christ. It ain't the Holy Ghost. Who are you communicating to? You're not communicating your faith. No, you're not. You see what I'm saying? And you wonder why your faith is not working. You wonder why you're not getting answers to your prayers, because you're not effectively communicating the right thing. But go on here. It says that every good thing which is in you. Name me some good things that are in you.
New nature.
Your new nature? Go ahead. Holiness? Yes. Joy? What else? Say again. Holy Spirit? Okay. Peace? Now let me ask you a question. So why aren't you walking in those things to a greater degree than you are now? Because you have not been effectively communicating with those things. Let me tell you what I do. Whenever I get in my secret place, and me and God, we got to talk about something. I don't go in there saying, oh God, do you see what they're doing to me? It don't look good, God. If you don't move soon, oh, it's going to look kind of bad. First of all, I ain't talking to God talking like that. But when I go to God, here's what I want to talk to God about. Father, I'm asking the Holy Spirit right now transform me to the kind of love that suffereth long, that's patient, that's kind, that doesn't envy, that's not envious, doesn't boil over with jealousy, it's not easily agitated, it does not take into account a wrong suffered, it bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things. Transform me to the kind of love, to that kind of love. Now, when you start talking to yourself like that, one-on-one with the Holy Ghost, things are going to change. Now, you ought to take that and you ought to run with it as far as you possibly can. We are communicating the wrong thing. We're communicating our problems. Now, really, when you communicate your problems, you know who you're worshiping? The enemy. The enemy. See, we sung this song. Now, they sing it, it's your breath in our hearts. So we pour out our praise. But I sing, it's your grace in my life. So I pour out my praise. The thing is, if you got a favorite song, you ought to make sure, first of all, that it's scriptural. Now, when you find out and make sure it's scriptural, then you ought to begin to turn it on, and you ought to begin to listen to it, and you ought to begin to let that thing begin to minister to you. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But make sure it's scriptural. Make sure it's scriptural. Don't be singing songs. I want to go where you are. I want to be where you are. Where is he? He's supposed to be in you. And I'm saying there's songs on the radio that you listen to all day long, and you're communicating the wrong thing in your heart. And you're asking God, why am I not seeing answers to my prayers? It's because you're communicating the wrong thing. Amen. You got to start communicating the right thing. That wasn't my message tonight, and I don't know how I got off on that, but let's get back on the book of Romans. Amen. But did you like that? Yes. It's been blessing my heart. Praise the Lord. Yes. Every nation on the earth, not just a Jew, what verse 319 is saying is every nation, not just a Jew, was spiritually dead. But God chose the nation of Israel to give them a law, even though he knew they couldn't keep the law or obey the law. The law was given so that everyone in the world... Now, see, God wasn't being mean when he gave the Jews the law and knew they couldn't keep the law. What he was trying to do is prove to the world that nobody can keep the law. By doing so, he, God, was able to judge the whole world how? Guilty. See that little baby running around right there? Now, right now, he's at the age of accountability. He's at the age of non-accountability. If he were to die, God forbid, I don't want the mother thing I'm trying to curse the child in kind of way, he would go to heaven. But there's coming a time when he'll come to the age of accountability. We'll have to make a decision for Christ. Why? Because he's born with a sin nature. See, his mama, now, I don't think she'll tell you this, but his mama, she knows the good side of him and the bad side of him. He look cute. But I guarantee he's got some stubbornness somewhere in him. Now, I'm going to tell you this. She didn't teach that to him. How did he get it? He was born with it. He was born with it. Well, that's how you are. That's how all of us are. That's why we need to be born again. So God judged the entire world guilty. And remember, the judgments of God are always just. Now that he declared the whole world guilty, he is now able to lay the guilt of the entire world upon one man. Now, who was that? Jesus. Amen. That's right. His name is Jesus. The purpose of the law was to show mankind that he was spiritually dead. So everybody that's not born again, they are spiritually dead. Now, there are some advantages to being spiritually alive. Okay, let's go on here because we're talking about the. Born again trail. Let's go over to chapter 4 now. Romans chapter 4. Since the fall of man, there has not been a man born that was spiritually alive. Jesus was the first man to be born spiritually alive. Go over to, if you have your Bibles, go over to John chapter 1. Big John. Got a Bible scholar in here. Just trying to show off a little bit. It's all right. I know what's happening. In the beginning, John chapter 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same in the beginning, the same was in the beginning with God. Before there was a beginning, before the beginning had a beginning, there was God. There was the Word of God. Jesus was the Word. He was the beginning. The Father doesn't have a beginning. The Son doesn't have a beginning. The Holy Ghost doesn't have a beginning, and they have no end. You have a beginning, but you have no end.
Hallelujah.
All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. In Jesus was life. That is a new nature. That means He's connected to God. What the Father did was, is that He took the very life out of Himself and He put that life in Jesus. Same thing happened to you. When you got born again, God took His very nature, His own life, and He put that life inside of you. Glory to God, you ought to shout. You ought to shout. You have the same capabilities that God has. Why? He's a God of faith. He's giving you faith. He's a God of love. He doesn't have love. He is love. And the thing is, He's giving you that same love. And with that love, guess what? We're going to have to develop that love. Now, if I were you, I would go to Philemon again, and I would talk about the love of God, and I'd begin to go, Father, mold my heart, shape my heart to this kind of love. We're going to need that in these last days. We're going to need that. I believe fear is going to start coming on the earth. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm not here to speak doom and gloom at this Bible study, but I'm going to tell you something. There is a shaking about to happen in this nation. There's a shaking about to happen in this nation. It's going to shake every church, every believer. Now, we had a shaking like this, similar to this, back in the 1990s. When we saw some big name preachers fall. How many of you were around then? I'm not going to name them here tonight. I'm not here to do all that. But we had some we thought, people that were just stalwarts in their faith. Amen? If you were around then, you knew they were people that you thought would never. I mean, them? No way. But God's, the one prophecy I was reading the other day, it says that God's going to expose the adultery, the fornication, the lying, the greed. All of that is going to be exposed soon. Now, I heard someone the other day said, man, we're living in a dark world. And my comment to that person was, we're living in a dark world. You know why we're living in a dark world? Because the church light's almost out. If you just see darkness around you and go, man, this stuff is terrible, well, turn your light up. When I came in this room tonight, I did not say, woo, turn on the darkness. Turn up the darkness. I don't want to see anything. No, you turn up the light so you can see. The remedy for a dark world is the church to become full of light. Amen. Wherever you go, you should be that light. Amen. But if you don't know who you are and you go into a situation, you're thinking, well, maybe I have it and maybe I don't. Either you do or you don't. You got to make up your mind. You've got to make up your mind. Amen? Let's go. I don't know. Okay, but again, Jesus was that light. Go back over to Romans chapter 4, please. Giving you a little Bible drill tonight, making sure you know where these verses are. I'm going to read verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, had found? For if Abraham were justified by work, he had wherefore to glory, but not before God. See, Abraham could, there was no law. There was nothing Abraham could fulfill. There was no law when Abraham met God. There was no law. There was no law then. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God. Now, remember, we taught on know no man after the flesh, right? Well, before we start trying to be like Father Abraham, we've got something better than Abraham had. I want to point that out right real quick. I'm gonna mention Abraham, but I'm not trying to get you to be like Abraham, but there's some principles that Abraham followed that you should follow. The number one that he followed was Abraham believed God. He believed God.
Yeah.
He believed God. Now watch this. I'm gonna skip around here, but I'm gonna come back. Go down to verse 17. Or go to verse 16. It's all good. We'll start at 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. You're living in a dispensation of grace. It's already been given to you. That's why all you have to do is believe. In Abraham's time, all Abraham had to do, God imputed righteousness to Abraham. You've been made righteous. You've been made righteous. God imputed righteousness to him, but you've been made righteous. All that simply means is, Abraham, you can whip the devil, and Jesus is going to pay for it when he goes to the cross. Now, what he is saying now, listen, he's already been beaten up. He's already been defeated. Anything I tell you in this book, you can have.
Yes.
Just walk in it. Believe me for it. Verse 16. To the end that the promise may be sure to which part of the seed? All the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of the law. Now get this. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee the father of many nations. Before him whom he what?
Believe.
See, he's emphasizing believed again. Christians, you got to learn to believe. You got to get your mind renewed and understand what it means to believe. You may think you believe, but when those disciples could not cast that demon out of that kid, they asked Jesus privately, why couldn't we cast him out? What did Jesus say? Because of your unbelief. Many Christians think they couldn't cast him out because they weren't fasting and praying. No, he said, because of your unbelief. That's the problem with the church today. It's because of our unbelief. Let me tell you why there's unbelief. You want to know?
Yes, sir.
You got a television, you got an internet, you got a phone. You got all these things that are just bombarding with you and conforming you to the world. Let me ask you a question. Who said we had to have gray hair when we turned 50? Yeah, I got gray hair. But who said we had to have it? Who said we had to have it? Now, those of you to color your hair, you don't get in the conversation. Just keep looking straight on, and we will know we're talking to you. All right? Who said that our joints had to start going stiff when we turned 50? Let me give you another one. You're right, the world. Who said we have to be having senior moments?
Insurance companies.
My point is, all of these things are conjured up by the world. The Bible doesn't mention them at all. At all. This is why the Bible says, know no man after the flesh. Why? Because you'll think that you got to be like him. No, you're to be like Jesus. The Bible says, as he is, so are we, even in this world. Now, I'm kind of taking out of context a little bit, and I would admit that. But the point is this, the Bible does say, when we see him, we will be just like him. We'll be just like him. Now, when he was on the earth, he believed. He didn't allow the world to conform him to the world's way. But we watch so much television. We watch so much internet. We're reading the wrong things. How many of you used to read dime novels when you were coming up? We read stuff, just anything somebody writes, we read it. Thrillers, dramas, all these kind of things. You watch television sequels, and listen, how many of you know about the latest Disney movie? What's it called? The Beauty and the Beast. Now, I know it's old folk. We ain't down. But you're a grandpa. You're supposed to know this stuff. Grandpa? Beauty and the Beast. You know what it's about? See, just by listening to that term, Beauty and the Beast, you're thinking, well, it's got to be the story written many, many, many years ago. No. Things have changed a little bit, as he said. It's about homosexuality. It centers around homosexuality. As I can be. And see, many of you hadn't even heard that. You're going to take your grandkids, go see it. Now, many of you went and saw The Shack. Well, you saw it 3 times. Did you like it? Well, but when you go, pray in tongues, because some things in there that's just not true. Because I believe what The Shack does, he tries to bring humanity. I mean, The Shack tries to bring the deity down to humanity's level. Listen, you can identify with Jesus' humanity, but you'll never be in the class of his deity. Forget it. Now, you have authority, but your authority comes from who? Jesus. Now, it's not delegated authority. It's authority he gives you because he lives inside of you. He's not going to take it from you. But the point is this. It's not your own authority. It's to be used for what? The kingdom of God. To expand the kingdom of God. Not to be used for your own purposes. Yes, ma'am.
Isn't that what they taught us? That it was delegated authority? I mean, years back.
Maybe we did. But there is a thing called delegated authority.
But delegated authority is that you can take it back.
Sure.
And so, but his authority, he gives it and that's it.
He's not going to take it back. No, what he gives you is yours. Okay, but delegated authority leads the idea that it can't be taken back. You know, you could be fired, terminated, you could be taken from that position, but that's not who Christ is. Okay? So the point I don't know how I got off on that, but here's a point I'm making here. Okay? We have to understand that we are being conformed to the world every day. The billboards that we look at, the commercials that we see, all of these things are an attempt to do what? Conform us to the world. When you start seeing commercials that depict a certain lifestyle, they're trying to dumb the world down to accept that. Okay? And as a born-again child of God, you can never embrace that if you don't want to violate your faith. You cannot embrace that. Yes. Exactly.
That you need the product. That you need to
be or the lifestyle.
Right.
Don't go for that. This is why we're teaching on the born-again trail. People think the born-again, why are you teaching the born-again trail? It's so simple. You think it is. But there's so much you don't know about who you are and what you're doing that we need to go over it so you can quit doing what you're doing. Because many of you came out of the world and you weren't taught these things. Many of us have come out of the world, got into a relationship with Christ, and now we're trying to bring works.
That's it.
And he's like, not going to work. Not in this camp. Why? Because, let's get back to my text here. Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ upon all, and upon all them that what? Believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now listen, he's talking about before you got born again. He's not talking about if you're born again. If you're born again, you should be walking in the glory of God. In fact, God glorified you. Come on, somebody. He glorified you. But the thing is, when they read this verse, you just can't say it to anybody. If I told you that you have sinned and come short of the glory of God, I would not be telling you the truth.
What verse is that?
Verse 23. Verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Jesus Christ. Whom God sent to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. What does the term propitiation mean? Anybody know what the term expediate means? What does propitiation mean? Does it mean to cover? What does propitiation mean? Where are all you? Huh? He was your substitution through faith in his blood to declare the righteousness for the remission, for the what? The remission, for the removal, for the taking away, for wiping out of sins that were past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he may be just and the justifier of them which believes in Jesus Christ. I want to read a few more verses here. Where is the boasting then? In other words, can I boast in all this? No, it is excluded. Why? By what law? Of works? No. See, that's the problem with most churches. I mean, with most Christians. You want to work so you can go, God, look what I did for you. And he's like, I'm not accepting that. I'm not accepting it. Because if you can brag about it, you didn't do it in my strength. See, if I got up right now and said, you know what? Man, I've got this Bible study, and I've labored, and I've built it, and it's a good Bible study, and we see signs and wonders, and man, I have done a great job. God would say, thou fool, you haven't done anything. When we heal the sick, it ain't us healing the sick, folks. It's him healing the sick. We don't do anything but lay hands on the sick and allow that power to flow through us. That's all we do. That's the only part in that we have. We cannot, there's no boasting in this. Let me go on. It is excluded. By what law? The law of works? Nay, by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. That word justified, do you know what it means? You stand before God as though you've never sinned. Christians, you have got to understand one thing. God is not upstairs going, did you see that? Let me get out Doris Ledger. Man, I'm going to talk to her about that. He's not doing that at all. When Doris sins, I'm picking on you. When Doris sins, what he does is he goes, I am so sad for you because I know what I put in you and you can do so much better than that. You're living far below your privileges. But it's God upstairs going, I cannot believe she did it again. I just can't believe it. He's not saying that. Why? You're justified by faith, which means, now this is not sloppy grace. This is not greasy grace. This is not messy grace. It means your sins have all been handled. Now, here are the sins I'm talking about. The sins that are sins that you're not practicing. You know what I mean by that? For example, let's just say I have to drive by the old bar and knock a few down to take the edge off every night when I go home, before I go home. Now, I may not get drunk, but why am I drinking alcohol? That? I want to get a buzz. Why else would I drink alcohol? When I drink a soda pop, why drink alcohol? I'm trying to alter my state of thinking, am I not? I'm trying to cosmetically alter what's going wrong with me. It's a habit. It is a sin that I willfully practice every day. Now, I don't want to be insensitive about this, but even cigarette smoking. I don't want people to get condemned by that. I'm not saying that cigarette smoking will send you to hell. I'm not saying that at all. My point is this. It is a habit. And the thing is, if God begins to speak to you, you can get rid of it. You can get rid of it. Now, I'm not laying that burden on you and saying, if you're smoking and you go, man, Pastor laid a heavy one on me. No, I'm not saying it at all. What I'm saying is this. If that begins to convict you, maybe you ought to start doing what we talked about earlier and start working on getting your mind renewed to getting rid of that habit, okay? Now, but maybe you just want to smoke. But I can tell you this, when you get to heaven, there is no smoking section in heaven. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by the law without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? What's the answer to that question? He is not also, is he not the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the circumcision, uncircumcision through faith. So do we make the law void through faith? Do I make the law void through faith? No. Why? That law is inside of me. That law is now inside of me. We saw last week that many parts of the law, the principles of the law, are in the New Testament. Isn't that right? You know, when the Bible says that you should not covet your neighbor's property, well, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says, for him that stole, steal no more. And so on and so on and so forth. He fulfilled the law, and now the law is inside of us. Because of the grace of God, that law has been fulfilled in us. Now, we don't walk under the law. We walk in what? Grace, love, okay? The law of love, the law of grace, that's what we're walking under. But we're not walking under the law. The point I want to get across to you is how Abraham, well, no, I want to finish this. This is what I want you to see. I have made thee the father of many nations, before him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead. What does the word quickeneth mean? Is it talking about a body, flesh, or your spirit? Okay, all right, you're right. So let's go on for the sake of time. Who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope, this is the part I want you to see, who against hope believed in hope. What is he saying there? Who against hope believed in hope when he had no hope, when his hope was all over the world, all over the neighborhood, when his hope was just bouncing up the wall. How many of you have been there before? You believe in God for something, but your hope just tends to waver. Yes. Everybody's been there. Amen. We've all been there. You're right. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, or according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Watch this now. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Quit considering your circumstances. Quit considering your failures. Quit considering what happened yesterday. Quit considering what happened last week. Quit considering what happened to you yesterday. Quit considering it. That's what's voiding your faith. I can't believe that they fired me. I just can't believe it, man. Lord, I worked out high. I just can't believe it. What are you communicating to your Lord? What are you communicating? Quit doing that. You're robbing yourself of your faith. Now watch what he did. When he was about 100 years old, neither the death of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God. Well, how did you do that? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Watch what he did. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You ought to be on your feet shouting, screaming, running down the aisle. Why? That's just what we said a few minutes ago about Philemon. You ought to be giving glory to God. God, I give you praise. This is not going to turn out the way the world says. It's going to turn out the way you say. Amen. I'm not moved by what the world is telling me. I'm moved by what you told me. Amen. It may look bad. My doctor may have to give me a grave report. But I'm not moved by what the report says. I'm moved by, he says, by his stripes. I'm healed and I give God praise. I give God glory. I'm healed and I declare it. How? When nobody's looking. When nobody's watching, when I'm at my midnight hour, amen. I'm in my prayer closet and I'm giving him praise and I'm giving him glory and I'm giving him honor. Amen. That is a man of faith. That's what you want to learn from Abraham. That's what you want to glean from him. That's the principle you want to learn from him. See, what God was saying, Abraham, is this. Abraham, do you think I can quicken the dead? Abraham said, God, you can do anything. He says, good. Because I'm going to have to quicken Sarah's womb. Did you hear that? He had to quicken Sarah's womb. He had to bring it alive because she was the one, she had the problem. It wasn't Abraham. He went in with Hagar and had a child. So it wasn't Abraham's problem, ladies. Forgive me. Don't get mad at me. It wasn't Abraham's problem. It was Sarah had the problem. Why? Her womb was dead. And God's going, I'm going to make her womb alive. Can you believe that? Abraham said, yes, sir, I can believe it. I've been with you for a long time. I don't watch what you did. You turn things around when I don't even think that they can be turned around. How did Abraham become the richest man in the Middle East at that time? He had nothing. He left the Ur of the Chaldees with nothing. Then he became one of the richest men in that part of the country. How did he do that? He believed. He believed. He believed. He believed. Are you hearing me? He believed. Believe is not something you do on Sunday morning. Believe is a lifestyle. Here's believe. If you're over 50 years old, you better get the shot because you can get this virus called shingles. And this shingles is not set. That virus is already in your body right now. Especially if you had the chicken pox or whatever pox you're supposed to have. That virus is in you right now. And you sit there and you go, wow. No, 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 no. Going forward, you need to point and say, you are a liar. By his stripes, I am healed. And I refuse to believe that. That's how you communicate your faith. You don't sit there and go, well, I'll just be. I talk to my television. I talk to my computer all the time when little dumb things pop up. No, you have no authority over me. I have authority over you. Why? I'm communicating my faith. I'm like Abraham. I understand how he became the father of many nations. He believed God. When he had no hope, he believed in hope. How did he do that? Giving glory to God. He communicated his faith. He effectively communicated his faith. He began to tell God, yes, I know you can do this. You are not a man that you can lie. You've exalted your word above your name. If you said she can have a child, she's going to have one. I don't know how it's going to happen, but bless God, she's going to have one. And I'm going to go ahead right now and make the crib right now because I know the baby's on the way. And the Bible says when Abraham was 99 and 9 years old, do you realize the time that God changed Abram's name to Abraham and Sarah had that child, it was exactly 1 year. Go back and look at it in Genesis. I studied it out, man. 1 year. It took him 3 months to start communicating his faith, to believe God and keep it before his own eye. God didn't forget about the promise. He was the one that was forgetting about the promise. He was the one that was staggering, he was staggering at the promises of God, and he said, God, I got to quit staggering at this. I know you can bring this to pass. And he was looking and going, but she can't have any children. She hasn't had any. Now, can you imagine Abraham? He's at the Christmas. He's having a family reunion. And he comes with him and Sarah. And he's got all his donkeys and maid and servants with him. And he says, I got an announcement to make before we get started this week in our reunion. He said, what is that, Abraham? What is that, Abram? My name is no longer Abram. It's now Abraham. And everybody just falls on the ground laughing. Why? Because Abraham means father of many. And they went, well, where is your tribe? We see you and we see Sarah. Where is your tribe? It was his faith. He refused to allow those people to tell him, this is not going to happen. When you start believing God for things, and let me tell you something. If you believe in God for something that you can do, it ain't faith. It ain't God. It's not God. See, people say, well, I had to have faith to sit on that chair tonight. No, you didn't. You had a human kind of faith, but it wasn't a God kind of faith. Why? You sat on that chair so many times, you know it ain't going to break. Now, let's just say you go outside and you start your car and it goes click, 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 and not boom. Now you're going to shift over in faith because we done left the premises. Nobody's here. You're the only one here left, and now you got to believe God to get home and get your car home. Now you got to have faith. Amen? Why? Because what you used to depend upon isn't working. Now, so what? Believe is not something you do on Sunday morning. Believe is a lifestyle. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
You got to get in your closet. As I wind down here, you got to get in your closet and you got to begin to communicate these things to yourself. And I would do something simple first. The love of God, whatever, and ask the Holy Spirit, begin to transform my mind to this. Reveal to me this truth. I don't want to know because Pastor Craig said so. I don't want to know because Joel Osteen said so. I don't want to know because whoever said so. I want to know because God says so.
Amen.
And if you start talking that way to him, he'll answer you. He'll answer you. And on the way he'll talk to you, sometimes you may be a little shocked because he'll tell you, what are you doing? This is not faith. This isn't faith. You've walked away from faith. You're in the works again. He'll let you know. He'll let you know. He'll let you know when you believe in God and when you're trusting him. He'll let you know when you're in the works. And the thing is this. How many of you have prayed for something and you wanted it to turn around and it got worse? You can put up both hands. Got worse. You know what the enemy is trying to do? Talk you out of your belief. He's trying to get you to back off of your faith.
Mm-hmm.
And what most of us do is go, well, I guess God doesn't want to answer my prayer. Maybe I'm just not mature enough. Maybe I got too much sin in my life. None of that is true. All the promises of God are what?
Yes.
If you're not, if they don't come to pass, well, you might say, well, what if I believe God for $1 million? Can you trust God for $1 million? Because what happens is you're going to start staggering like Abraham did. I would say this, if you haven't believed God for $1, maybe a little difficult to believe him for $1 million. Maybe you'll believe him for $10 or $100 and go from there. But to believe God for $1 million, not saying he can't give it to you. I'm just saying, unless you stay in that closet and change your unrenewed mind, because if it doesn't come, it won't be because God said no. It'll be because your unrenewed mind said no. And you listen to your unrenewed mind. Okay? Who says we had to wear glasses? Huh? And I'm wearing glasses. Who said we had to wear glasses? Now, before you get out, go out of here, don't go home and get your hammer out and beat your glasses. Take your glasses up. That is not faith. That's stupidity. That is not faith. I've had people go home and they go, well, bless God, I'm healed, and throw out the medication. That's not faith. That's stupidity. Faith is, I'm going to get quiet with you and I'm going to be communicate a promise that you've already given me, that's already inside of me, and I'm going to believe you that's going to come to pass. And if you don't do that, you can't come to me and say, Pastor Craig, this stuff don't work. No, I'm going to look at you and go, you obviously didn't do what I instructed you to do. You went home and did it for 5 minutes and figured that's enough. And when I say go home in your private prayer closet, let me include this. When you're driving down the street, instead of your mind just wandering around, make that confession. Let me go a little further. When you're in the shower, start communing to him. Let me go a little further. When you sit on the throne. You laughing, but I'm serious as I can be. Make those confessions. Commune with him. Every chance you get, commune with him. What are you doing? You're making your faith effectual. It's beginning to transform you. And all of a sudden, you may think, but I don't see anything happening in front of me. Listen, baby, I said it's by faith. If you see it, it ain't faith. It's in the spirit realm. You're not going to see it happen. It's just going to go wham. When are you going to go, where'd that come from? It's because of your faith. I'm believing one God, they're going to pull up my driveway and put a 500 S550 Mercedes Benz, white, pearl white, park into my driveway. Leave the keys there and drive off. Glory to God. Now, am I coveting one? No. Nah. Do I have to have one? Nah. But I believe in God to have faith for one.
Amen.
You know, the board now, we have to have faith to make sure these meetings get taken care of and come here and do certain things. Amen. But bottom line is this, we have to believe God. I'm believing God for no hurricanes right now. Amen. And hurricane season doesn't start until June, right? I'm believing God now. This morning I woke up, went to go barbecue, and guess what? It tried to rain. You believe that? It tried to rain. I said, oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. Let me ask you a question. How many of you that come over here on Thursday nights have ever gotten rained on at this location? I wonder why. I wonder why. You got rained on once? When you came over here? I'm somewhere over here. It has never rained in this neighborhood. And that's been how long ago, Mary? How long have we been here? Since July of last year? It's almost a year. You think that's coincidental?
No.
It's because we pray.
Amen.
Folks, you're going to realize in these last days, God has done more for you than you can ever imagine if you'll just begin to get in your closet and begin to be transformed to it.
Amen.
I'm telling you. Your eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. Old Testament. Old Testament.
Amen.
Old Testament.
Amen.
But God will reveal them unto you by his Spirit. People love that first half of that verse. I'm going, that's Old Testament, man. It's Old Testament. He's going to reveal it to me. Wow. By my Spirit. That's why I want my spirit man and the Holy Ghost inside of me to begin to transform my mind to a certain way of believing. And then nothing, I mean absolutely nothing, shall be impossible unto us. Folks, we'll walk in a prison and we'll sickness and disease and it'll just leave. Now you see many are saying, I don't see how that's possible. Because see, now you're in the natural, I'm in the spirit. I'm renewing my mind. When I say things like that, I'm renewing my mind. People hearing this CD or this recording, you may think, he has lost his mind. You're absolutely right. I have lost my natural mind. I am in the renewed mind. I am not in the class of mind that you're in. If you think that way, shame on you. Why? Because you just categorize yourself. You're in the flesh. You're not in the realm of the spirit. We can have these things. These things are straight from the word of God. I believe one day that man's leg back there, I'm believing, I prayed about this week, it's going to grow out.
Amen.
I'm not saying it to make you clap. I'm saying it because that I'm transforming my mind to it. We have got to see these things. Why? So the world can say, they are bona fide, born again children of God. And we'll be set apart from
Amen.
Those religious people. And I don't have a problem with the religious people. I got no problem with them. But I want them to come and get in this fight.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Come on. Let's do this together, man.
Right.
Ain't supposed to be any division in the body of Christ.
Amen.
We're supposed to be walking together.
Amen.
But listen, I'm not lukewarm. And you're not going to call me to be lukewarm. I'm hot. I'm red hot.
Right.
And I'm going to have everything God says I can have. Now, so I can stop right now. Is there anybody here that needs prayer?